So as I mentioned earlier, on Good Friday, we thought about the greatest disappointment, and we began by thinking about a couple of examples of disappointments. And the first one is, do you remember the picture of the disappointed football fan in tears? You know, a big muscular guy, and he was just in tears because his team had just lost. And the second one was a quote from Adolf Hitler, who was praising his troops on their success when Dunkirk fell in the 1940s, and the people in the UK were waiting to see what would happen next with fear and trepidation. What a disappointment that the dictator had arrived just a stone's throw across the water from the shores of their own country. Well, here's a different picture. That's of fans celebrating the victory. I almost said rare, but not so rare these days, of the England football team. I'm not sure if that was taken after the 5-0 victory over the Czech Republic a little while ago. By the way, welcome Yaroslav and Markéta, and it's nice to see you both from the Czech Republic. So you got that joke, didn't you? You did, good. So it was a joke. But I don't know where that was after that. Anyway, that is one picture. Here's another picture taken celebrating VE Day. And again, none of us here, I guess, would remember that, not in detail at least. But there's a picture, and look at the happiness. They were very reserved in those days, weren't they, when they had pictures taken. People weren't like football fans and just, you know, letting it all out. But they were quite reserved. But look at the joy on their faces. Victory in Europe after, what, 4 or 5 long years. And these are, you know, winning a football match, winning a military conflict, a war. But, you know, something about this tells us that the sense of triumph never lasts. A winning team might win again. They may go on to dominate for years. But sooner or later, another team will emerge that is better, will overtake them, and that they just fade away a little. The end of a war is always something to celebrate, especially if winning it means that tyrants are beaten and that peace and prosperity and happiness and health will be established as a result. But we remember the Great War, the war to end all wars, didn't. And many a forces veteran over the years has been disillusioned by the values of this free society and made the wry observation, I fought a war for this. There is nothing final about any victory. Times change, we change. History's biggest cataclysms and turning points are forgotten, or at least relegated to stories that are told or taught. The impact of those events are scarcely felt, and new problems, new challenges, new struggles emerge. Life goes on with its successes and failures, its victories and defeats, until it comes to an end. Today is the day we remember the single unique event that changed everything. And it changes life in ways that are far in excess of the power of the jubilation of one's country winning a World Cup or even a World War to change it. It is an event that assures us of many things, but of these two in particular. Firstly, that the life for which we were created is not ultimately subject to organic processes or governed by the physical evidence around us. The usual rules do not apply. And the second is this, that life is transformed from the moment we truly receive Christ, make him Lord of life, and commit to the journey of growing to be like him, a journey we call discipleship. So let's have a look at triumph over time. What does that mean? The greatest triumph, and it enabled us to understand that it is a triumph over time. Now, Psalm 90, rather famously, and you might say rather miserably, quantifies our human life as around 70 or 80 years. The length of our days is 70 years. You have to say this in a somber voice when you read it. You can't really celebrate as you say it, can you? The length of our years is 70 or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Is this really Easter Day when we're celebrating, you ask yourself? Not much of a hint of a victory there. But the psalmist is merely pointing out our life prospects without God. The resurrection confirms what Genesis tells us about creation, that we were designed by God to know him and to live with him forever, to know his love which transforms existence. Beyond our 70 years, and beyond even the 60 years, of the oldest recorded person, who was Jeanne Calment, a French lady who lived to 122. Not sure whether you'd like to live that long or whether you don't want to be around past 100, I don't know. But it doesn't matter. The length of our years, the Bible says, is roughly an adult's life, but they're filled with misery. Well, that reflects how things would be without God. The problem is that our determination to do life without God gets in the way. And it's a huge problem. How can a holy God welcome willful and sinful people into his presence? God created perfection for us, but we choose to reject it in favour of our own vision of happiness and pursuing that instead. But in Jesus, God has provided the solution, the greatest triumph over the most insoluble problem. Our sin will not go away, but he chose to take it away and to pay for it in the way we would have had to. We remain imperfect, of course, but because the punishment for it has been taken by Christ, that barrier has been dismantled and the triumph over our time-limited lives is secure. The greatest triumph, or part of it at least. We simply have to accept the gracious gift and step into the Christ-centered life for which we were created. And here's the second part of it. Why this is the greatest triumph. Triumph, if you like, over tunnel vision. When Jesus first began to speak to the people of his time, he used words like freedom and blessing and release, new sight. The time has come, he said. Light, life, good news. It all added up to a summons to all people to see a reality which lay beyond what they could immediately see around them. It's quite true that the life experience that we mostly have in common with one another is of uncertainty, of changing fortunes, of successes and setbacks, moments of achievement and satisfaction, and times when we feel overlooked, undervalued, and alone. That is the span of human life. This is normality, we believe, because nothing in the human experience contradicts that view of life. But the resurrection changed all that too. Because Jesus set before us a picture of how life is meant to be lived. Because he spoke about joy being found in spiritual things like love and generosity and service and worship, unselfishness, and in exercising all of those qualities freely. All he said was powerfully endorsed and proven by the fact that God raised him from the dead. Jesus spoke vital truth to us. And the power of God Almighty in the resurrection pushes the example of Jesus' life right in front of our eyes and challenges us to take it up. No longer do we need to be restricted to the tunnel vision of life as we have always seen it. No longer are our thoughts imprisoned by what logic and reason and science and technology tell us is possible. As Christ broke out of death, broke out of hell, broke out of the tomb, so in him we can break out of what the world sees to what the Creator sees and allows us to see and know by faith. I just want to leave you with quite a lengthy quote from Scripture which really says it all. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, says this: God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And by him, God reconciled everything to himself by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once so far away from God. You were separated from him by your thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friends. He has done this through his death on the cross in his own human body. As a result, he has brought you into the very presence of God, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand in it firmly. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Amen.